Welcome to this series on leading change. My name is David Drickhammer. I'm an independent business journalist who specializes in leadership and management topics. They say that the only constant in today's economic environment is change, and our objective with this series is to share some of the wisdom and experience from both TBM Consulting Group and its clients on successfully leading change within their companies. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. Today we're speaking with John Fieldman, Senior VP of Operations at Boom Chicka Pop, which is, I think, is very difficult to say without smiling. They're headquartered in North Mankato, Minnesota. So thank you again for taking the time to talk to us today, John.
My pleasure, David. Thanks for having me.
So to start with, can you briefly describe Boom Chicka Pop's primary business and a little history, and then what you do there?
Surely. It really is kind of an American success story. So the business was founded about 5 years ago by Angie and Dan Bastian. Dan was a school teacher. Angie was a nurse, and they were looking to supplement their income. And they literally started making kettle corn in their garage and started taking it to craft fairs in Mankato, Minnesota. And lo and behold, Mankato is where the Minnesota Vikings football team trained during the off season. They got into a relationship with the Vikings. Some folks there really loved it, got the opportunity to sell their product at the Metrodome, got recognized by Target and a couple other local Minnesota customers. And lo and behold, this little kind of cottage industry business has become a multi-million dollar endeavor. And Dan Angie recently sold a large portion of the company to TPG, which is one of the world's largest private equity firms. And TPG joined the dance here at the end of 2014. And I've had a previous relationship with TPG, and they brought me on here in 2015. And really, at the end of the day, the company stands for making the same amazing quality and natural popcorn that Dan and Angie started with in their garage, and doing it, you know, for the grocery and mass retail chains.
So what are some of the challenges when it comes to managing change in both a relatively new company like that and then in a longer term business?
I think the biggest thing about managing change is inspiring people to believe that they can do what they originally thought wasn't possible. I think generally human beings are scared a little bit with or get into routines and scared a little bit with changing that. And I really believe it's a fear of failing, frankly. Hmm. And I think the important part of change management, the important part of leadership, is letting people know that there's nothing catastrophic that's going to happen if we try to do something different. You know, when I enter a new company, it's always fascinating for me to hear, well, you know, we can't do that. Well, why can't we do that? Well, Fred says we can't do that. Well, where's Fred? Well, he hasn't worked here in like 3 years. Oh, okay. So my favorite thing that's way overused, if you talk to my team, is there's really only two things that we have to follow in the workplace. The first is the laws of the state and the federal government. And the number two is the laws of physics. Everything else, somebody made up. And I think that's actually the biggest enabler to change, is to realize that most of the things that we think are things set in granite, somebody some point in some way made up. So giving people the ability to go ahead and change those, I think, and giving them the freedom to realize it's not going to be right the first time, is paramount to driving change. The second piece is that, I think good people feed off of people, of leaders' confidence that they'll ultimately be successful, whatever the change is going to be. My favorite boss that I worked for, Tarang Amin, had a great saying. He says, you know what, I'm seldom right, but never in doubt. And I love that because it has such a positive momentum to it. It's like, we're going to go forward. We're going to make a bunch of mistakes along the way, but you know what, we're going to get there. And that stewardship, I think, inspires people to actually want to change.
So how do you actually demonstrate that? I mean, because obviously I'm sure when you start talking like that, people might look at you you know, like, I'll believe it when I see it type of thing.
Yeah, of course, right? It's easy to say, you know, it sounds motherhood and apple pie, right? I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, and the world's going to be perfect. I think there's two things you have to do. Number one is when people fail, and they fail by trying to do the right thing, and they fall flat on their face, is you celebrate it. And I think everybody watches, because, like, okay, is this for real, or is this leader going to go ahead and be kind of what's traditional? He's going to shoot someone out or assign blame. I think that's the first thing that you do. The second thing I think that that manifests itself is real servant leadership, is asking people what you can do for them and actually doing it. It's really easy to say, well, what help do you need? And the person says, well, I need to go ahead and build the Great Wall of China. And you go, well, I was just kidding. I think when people ask you to do things to help and you actually follow through on them, I think it gives you the credibility that that the change is real, especially when they ask you for stuff. Most of the things that really people see as barriers to making positive change are really easy to fix. It's amazing how many, if I just had a pencil sharpener, I could go ahead and change the world conversations I've had in my career.
Now, the situation you described, the boom chicka pop, there's a lot of change in there in ownership and leadership structures, I'm sure. So are you managing kind of that process to maintain that outlook and just, and as you mentioned, preserve the heritage?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think it's always important when you go into the workplace to be, it's actually a great question. I think you completely have to enter any workplace with humility. If you go, whether you've been successful or not successful, if you go in guns a-blazing, I'm going to change the world, you know, you're going to have tissue rejection, even if you're 100% quote unquote right. The second piece is, I always say this, people hunger for good leadership. People want to feel part of a team. People want to feel like they're changing for the positive and they can be part of something exciting. And I think, you know, you create an atmosphere of that. I think, you know, my job as a leader is to be aspirational. It's to you know, almost reach for things that are ridiculous, but achievable and inspiring. You know, it goes back to the old, I had a professor at one point said, you know, what was the most ludicrous aspirational statement in the world? I'm like, what's the most ludicrous aspirational statement in the world? And he said it was John F. Kennedy saying, we're going to go to the moon. That's not possible. What the hell? How's that possible? Right? And lo and behold, we did it. Right? And now it's, and why? Because, yeah, there's a lot of whys, right? But ultimately, someone believed it could be done.
So obviously, you have a strategic priorities there now. So how do you align what's going on at a day-to-day level with those priorities?
We're using Hashim Khanri, actually introduced to us by Bill Schwartz, who I know is the ex-PBM guy, and now with TPG. To try to put some discipline into how we go after our strategic priorities and how do we effectively measure them, we have a long way to go. But, you know, we do have five pretty clear priorities for the organization. We're starting to align our people and processes around those, but it's a new process for us and it's a new process for this leadership team. So, but the biggest thing, right, is, it's a little bit like, I think someone once said to me, right, you have to tell someone something seven times before they really understand it. Mm-hmm. Or probably an iteration two, that the strategy is starting to get clear to our people. And, you know, the most important part about strategy is to be clear about what you're not going to do. And a company that has been growing leaps and bounds and really would do anything that anyone asked it to do, having a principled no, inside of its four walls and outside of its four walls is super important, because otherwise you'll try to do too much and, you know, you'll fail spectacularly at everything.
Right. That's a great lesson. I mean, is there anything else you've learned, I guess, over the course of your career with other companies as well, about pursuing changes and making them stick that did and maybe didn't go so well?
Oh, I got, wait, how long do you have? I got months I can tell you about things that didn't go well. I think the danger you have is that, you know, you get so jazzed about what's possible and you start seeing people blossom that, you know, either had curtailed their enthusiasm or the job was a bad, well, for whatever reason, right? I believe that, like, no one walks into work and says, I'm going to do a bad job today, right? And there are no bad employees, just bad leaders. What you can do when you get so jazzed up by that and so excited about that, you see people start performing, you can go too fast. And I think that's actually the biggest problem, is that sometimes you want to get to the finish line or at least get so far down the road that you have to remember that as these people are growing, you can leave them in the dust and you can lose the whole organization. There have been a couple times in my career where we had great momentum, and so what did I do? I kind of got like the guy on the highway when there's no traffic and you're already going 70. Instead of realizing, hey, I'm making pretty good time at 70 miles an hour and recognizing that I got three cars behind me following, I go, oh, I'm just going to step on it. And lo and behold, I'm going 110. And the car behind me, the Yugo, and it's not going to go 110. So I've done that a couple of times. And luckily, I've had good people to say, whoa, 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 deep breath. But I think that's, you know, you get excited. You see all the change. You want to, you know, quote unquote, fix everything overnight. And I think much more measured approach. I think that's actually important to strategy. I think strategy keeps you tethered to a reasonable pace. And, you know, my reasonable pace might be someone else's unreasonable pace, but it's not breakneck. And there's been times in my career when I've gone breakneck and, you know, I regretted it.
Usually people talk about not being able to kind of build that momentum.
I've not, you know, it's funny. I've been blessed in my career. I've not ever had a problem with building momentum. And I think it's actually the nature of the beast where you work. There's always a burning platform. You just have to find it and you just have to understand it. I mean, you know, and you have to be clear about it. The burning platform sometimes can be growth. That's the most fun burning platform, right? That we're going to grow the company head over heels. But sometimes the burning platform is efficiency. You know, that we've got either too many people or too many assets. And if we don't do something about that, we're not going to be competitive. You know, probably in my career, my favorite jobs have been one in which facilities were potentially going to close and people said, not going to happen to me, and performed at unbelievable levels. Those are my favorites, right? Because, again, it just, you know, clarity was, guys, we got to go do this. Okay. Thank you for being clear. I can do that.
You mentioned the burning platform and people understanding the need to change. I mean, but in general, people, you know, some people seem more receptive and responsive to those incentives than others. Is there anything that, I mean, you do as a leader? I mean, you talked about creating, kind of being aspirational about how to, you know, make people more comfortable with that change.
Yeah. No, I think the biggest thing, approaching it with no ego, being non-judgmental about what happened in the past, not worrying about assigning blame for where you're at if it's not in a good place. I think if you enter the situation with, listen, I'm here to help. I'm here to work for you. I'm here to make this better. Here's facts. Treat people like business owners. It's amazing I think a lot of the barriers go away.
So I assume you look for that type of humility and quality when you're looking for people, those hire people to kind of lead these type of efforts as well?
Number one aspect.
Okay.
Absolutely. And in the interview process, it's as simple as I or we. It really is. When people say, we did this, and let me talk about my people, and here's what I'm proud of that my team did or we did, very different than I did this and I did that. It's very interesting because I think we as Americans are taught I did this and declare and all that sort of stuff. And it's very interesting to see seasoned leaders deeply and talk about their team's accomplishments as a reflection upon their own as opposed to the other way around. It's pretty cool, actually.
So final question. So what have been some of the most, you know, rewarding aspects for you like over the course of your career and kind of leading change in different organizations?
Wow.
To put it in a few words.
It's easy, actually. I said earlier in our conversation, I said many, many times in my career that I saw people make meaningful changes in their lives as a result of leading change at work. So I had one individual say to me, maybe 5 years ago now, I heard other people say this to my career, said, listen, because of what we've done here, I've had more confidence in my personal life. I'm a better father. And it's like, okay, game over, right? It doesn't get better than that. I hope that I've made some people's lives better. And, you know, if you can leave this earth and say that, then I think you'll have a pretty good life. And that's what's the most rewarding thing to me.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you. Thank you, John. I appreciate your time today. It's been great. Great to hear your insights. Yeah. Yeah, and best of luck to you and everyone at Boom Chicka Pop with your improvement efforts and growth.
Thank you very much.
So this is one of a series of conversations that TBM is having with business and operations leaders about the rewards and challenges of leading change in their organizations. For a transcript, other articles in this series, and other resources, go to the TBM website, tbmcg.com. Thank you very much for listening today. Good luck with your own change and continuous improvement efforts.